Psalms chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Oh, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me to dwell safely. He said in the third verse that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Praise God. I like to read a little bit in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Praise God. My text tonight, sanctification, is something special. Praise God. Sanctification is a special blessing that God endows unto his special people, praise God, that call upon him. He said he hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The word sanctification means to set apart. It means to separate from worldly contamination and set apart for holy use only. Praise God. Once the sacrifice touched the temple, once it touched the altar, once it was slain and laid upon the altar and the various sprinklings did upon it, and the priest went through the ordinances, the sanctification was no longer its own. It was no longer the owner's. It was given to God. Praise God. That's the way we are. We're a special people. God wants to give us special blessings. He wants to give us special power. He wants to make us special vessels and give us a special inheritance. Hallelujah. Oh, if people could only by the eye of faith see the glory of God, they'd want this. If people could by the eye of faith, you know the problem today with folks in setting out or in their idea of holiness and in their setting out maybe to seek holiness is that they lack the faith vision to see the glory. It's one thing to have faith, but it's another thing to have a faith vision. You see, faith has a vision. Faith surveys the future. And even though it doesn't possess it now, faith looks beyond and sees the glory ahead. The problem most folks have when they encounter godliness and when they encounter righteousness, or when they even think about it, read about it, or talk about it, is, amen, that they have a humdrum, dull, still attitude toward it. And you'll never find God with a humdrum, dull, still, a holy Joe attitude toward the things of God. Praise the Lord. You know, there were a lot of people in Abraham's day, but none of them saw the city that he was looking for. You know how Abraham saw it? He saw it by faith. He caught a vision of a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. He knew there must be one. Praise God. And that made Abraham different in this world. Praise God. He had a faith vision for something far above and far beyond the present. Praise God. That faith vision makes the difference between whether in your heart there's winter or springtime. I tell you, it can be cold and blowing on the outside, but on the inside, the sun can be shining, and the flowers are blooming, and the dewdrops are glistening, and the birds whistling, and the sun shining bright, because faith's vision looks away and lays claim to the invisible things of God. Praise God. What is holiness? What is sanctification? What is being set apart? I'll tell you what it is. It's a special blessing for a special people. Praise God. It's a blessing for a people that have got their eyes upon heaven. They've caught a faith vision glimpse of heaven. They've got a down payment, an earnest through the Spirit, on an inheritance undefiled. Praise God. They're seeking something that way down deep inside their heart bears witness that it's out there. God has it. God suggests it. God enjoins it. God demands it. Praise God. Therefore, it must be available. And with our faith vision, we raise our sights and say, I will have it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Sanctification is something special. We get enough of it to save us when we get saved. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. We get enough of the Holy Ghost to save us when we get saved. Amen. But if we have the fullness, we must seek God for it and devote ourselves and tarry until we're endued with that fullness of power from on high. We get enough power to become the sons of God because we believe on His name when we get saved. But we don't have much for anything else. But praise God, when we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we get enough for ourselves and somebody else. Amen. And the Bible said, with joy ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's salvation, brother. Amen. You draw water out of the well of salvation with joy. You even get joy when you get saved. Amen. And that's that salvation measure. But if you keep on believing on Him, as the Scripture saith, you'll not just draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. You will become a well. And out of your belly shall flow living water, the Bible said. Praise God. It's the difference between a glass being filled to quench your thirst. Amen. And the glass being baptized in, that is immersed in the water, and it comes out full and overflowing. It not only has enough to quench your thirst, there's water on the inside, water on the outside, water running over. Amen. That's what David meant when he said, my cup runneth over. Praise God. We don't just get enough water to save us when we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We get the river. Hallelujah. Our innermost being, our spiritual life, shall flow rivers of living water. That's the way sanctification is. We get a portion of it when we get saved. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God hath made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, the 25th and 26th verse, the Bible says in the 25th verse, He gave Himself that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. In Hebrews 13:12, He said, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. That is the salvatory measure of sanctification. We are sanctified in a measure when we get saved. Praise God. But then if we would have full sanctification, we must employ our will and our prayers and seek God for that and pursue it. Praise God. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, He teaches us that it's God's will. He's talking to Christians, people that are already saved, people that have already received that measure of sanctification that comes. Sanctification that comes through His body. Amen. That measure of sanctification that comes with salvation. Praise God. But then God wants us to employ our will. Amen. To seek Him and want a closer walk with God. Amen. He wants to sanctify us by His Word. Jesus prayed, Lord, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's why young Christians need further sanctification, because they're ignorant of His Word. And because of His Word, then we become, shall I say, more sanctified. For instance, we may not know some things that we need to do when we first get saved. We're going to heaven. Amen. But then we begin to hear the Word preached. Then we begin to read the Word for ourselves. Well, the lights, a little light bulb begins to turn on. Amen. And new light is shed upon our life. And, oh God, I want that too. I didn't know that, Lord. I'll do this too. I never knew this, Lord. I never even thought about it, Lord. I will lay this aside also. Praise God. And though thus we are sanctified by His Word. Praise God. And as we seek the Lord for full sanctification, we not only answer Paul's prayers, amen. Incidentally, Jesus prayed for our sanctification. Paul prayed for our sanctification. Don't you think we ought to pray for it? Amen. Did you ever try to pray for anybody that wasn't interested in praying for themselves? I've prayed for a few people, you know, that never quit chewing their gum while I was praying for them. You know. I prayed for a few people. I'd go to visit them in the hospital. Them would die, and they couldn't turn TV off long enough for me to pray for them. Amen. And while I was praying, they was glancing back every once in a while. As if they didn't miss something while I was praying. Amen. I've gone to pray for people that need help from God. And there was a stack of magazines that wasn't very good literature. A bad literature. Old detective things, you know. People laying dead, you know, and detective fiction things, you know, and them needing faith for healing. Praise God. And you know, it don't help your faith none when you pray for folks that's not interested in helping themselves. God helps folks that helps themselves. Praise God. Amen. And I've prayed for some people, even in church, you know, while I was praying for them. They was kind of looking off and grinning, had kind of a silly grin on their face, you know. Somebody else brought them, you know, and I was praying for them, you know, and they had a silly grin on their face. They was kind of embarrassed to tell the truth about it. Amen. I prayed for one young lady, 16-year-old girl in the hospital, sister here in the church, friends to the family, wanted me to go by and see them. And so I did. I found them, and I guess picked the wrong time to go. Her girlfriends was there. And while I was praying for her, and her in a dying condition. She had a disease that would be terminal and may have already died. I don't know. I'll have to talk to sister. I'll not call her name because it might put her on the spot. But she may have already died. But you know what? They was giggling. And she wouldn't even close her eyes while praying. She didn't know she was going to die. She didn't realize how bad off she was. Amen. And she couldn't hardly wait till I got out of there. And, you know, it didn't help my faith any either. In her with a terminal disease, 16-year-old girl with something like cancer, amen, and not interested in, embarrassed, in fact, by the preacher praying for her, amen. Well, now, you say, Brother Cobb, what's that got to do with sanctification? Jesus prayed for our sanctification. He said, oh, God, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then Paul said, oh, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified. Amen. Oh, yes. And here there are both many men of God, in fact, praying for our sanctification. Don't you think we ought to pray for it too? Why do you think God thinks when we're not concerned about our own separation enough to ask God, sanctify me, Lord. Set me apart. Praise God. Amen. Sanctification is a special blessing. Praise God. In fact, I recommend anybody that's having trouble with any besetting sin, pray like this. Resist the devil. Say, I rebuke you, devil. In the name of Jesus, I have victory and dominion over you. And then entreat God, Lord, sanctify me from this thing. Take it out of my heart. Take it out of my mind. I think many people ignorantly are missing a blessing by not asking God to help them with some particular problem, some besetting sin. We need to ask God to intervene for us. You may feel that it is so much a habit in your life. It is so closely connected with your job or the people around you in the day or your school that it takes over again. Amen. Ask the Lord. Lord, sanctify me from this problem. I want to be holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. That don't leave anything left, does it? That means we're fully sanctified. Spirit sanctified. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Somebody said, you folks, y'all, you talk about outside. No, we don't either. We do not. That is a lie. Amen. We are very sensitive to the Spirit. Amen. And we know when a person has got a wrong spirit. Hang around a while. We can tell it. People of God that's sensitive to the Spirit, they can tell it. If you've got a carnal spirit, if you've got a spirit that carries good humor to the point of foolish talking and jesting and using language that you should not use. Amen. It's not hard to tell if a person's spirit is sanctified. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Your whole spirit, soul, that's your salvation, praise God. Your soul be sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of Jesus Christ. But he didn't stop there. He said, and your body be sanctified. Praise God. That means we get deliverance over habits that have fastened themselves to us while we were in sin. How do we do it? By God sanctifying our bodies. Amen. You see, divine healing heals our bodies. But we need a kind of healing sometimes that heals us from habits. We need a kind of healing sometimes that heals us from besetting sin. Amen. That kind of healing works like this. Whereas we had a mind and a habit and a routine that went after something that was not good for us before, praise God, we ask God to sanctify us. He gives us a sanctified mind and a sanctified spirit, a sanctified attitude about this thing until we hate it instead of loving it. We despise it instead of wanting it. And we earnestly seek God and implore God to deliver us from it. Oftentimes Christians, good Christians, need sanctification in their thought life. Amen. There's where the seeds, praise God, are planted for backsliding. I just don't know what happened to so-and-so. They were doing real good, and then all of a sudden they lost out with God. What happened was in their thought life, things were going on that you didn't know. Amen. And we're missing a blessing, folks. We'll lose our vision of Jesus if we don't ask God to sanctify our minds. You may have to pray about this more than one time. You may have to pray about it daily. You may have to seek God again about it a little bit later on down the road, because some things have a tendency to recur. Amen. You say, I thought if God sanctified us, we never could lose out with God. You're still human. Sanctification is not eternal security. Amen. You're still in an earthen vessel, and you still got a human body. And Paul wasn't praying for a bunch of heathen when he said, I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified holy. He's talking about the whole Thessalonian church. He was talking about a special blessing for a special people. God wants us to be sanctified people. Praise God. You say, well, I just couldn't get victory over this, or I just couldn't get victory over that. You maybe were ignorant. The devil played a trick on you, and you didn't realize that victory was available for you. Amen. Ask God to sanctify your desires. Hallelujah. That's your body. Your body is a creature of habit. Your body develops certain desires as a result of doing certain things over and over and over again. Amen. I mean, you just take a nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. You'll get sleepy 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. Well, don't you? Am I the only one that does that? Huh? Amen. All right. And sometimes you just got to overcome and go on, you know. Amen. We're creatures of habit. Praise God. I mean, if we... I went to Poland a few years ago, and we went in the month of May. And every year when the month of May rolls around, those thoughts of Poland come rolling back. Amen. And Romania. And oh, it's just so clear again. I can see it just so clear. And I think, well, maybe some of these days I'll go back again. What you did last year at a particular time, you'll want to do next year, because we're creatures of habit. Amen. That's why the two young ladies, one of them had got saved. And her sister said to her sisters, very bad in the world and sin and drugs. And her sister suggested to her, Marcia, what were we doing last year at this time? And when she did that, she triggered something in that young Christian's life. And Marcia lapsed over for a moment. Man, we was having a ball. And said, what are we going to do about it? And that's all it took. And then 1 year later, Marcia, who had just prayed in our altar and got a good experience with God, she was back in the gutter again. They'd had a big party, and Marcia was shooting up drugs again and living it up in sin again and outside the ark of safety. Amen. Your body, your desires need sanctifying. And so you need to ask God. You need to know this is available to you. And then you need to implore, seek, entreat, tarry. Amen. Believe God, in fact, for holiness of desire. Amen. Your mind, your desires, thank God, your thought life and your desires, you get victory over those and you get those sanctified, you can live for God. 25 years from now, you can be living for God. 30 years from now, you'll still be living for God. If Jesus tarries 40 years from now, you'll still be shouting and shining and growing in grace. Amen. But if you let the devil dull your spiritual vision, steal your spiritual vision, your faith vision that sees the glory beyond, and you allow flesh and the desires of this world to take predominance, the first thing you know, you won't care whether you're sanctified or not. You won't care whether you live for God or not. You won't care whether you live holy or not. You just want enough religion to get you through the gate, and you want to live as close to the world as you can and still maintain some sort of a confession or a profession of faith in the Lord and religion to console your conscience. And the first thing you know, you become a carnal people. And folks, there's nothing special about carnal Christians. They come a dime a dozen. God's special blessings are for God's special people. In other words, if Jesus' prayers answered and Paul's prayers answered, it ain't going to jump on you. You got to want it. Hallelujah. You got to believe God for it. Oh, my God, I just don't know what happened to me. I know. You didn't seek God for what you needed when time came to implore God's victory. Now, if you're a thinking person and you got just one eye and half sense, you know sin's going to take you to hell. Sin's going to cause you to lose out with God. Amen. And when the devil comes a-knocking on your door, you tell him, praise God, I'll let my big brother answer the door. And if Jesus answers the door, he won't hang around. But you open it a little bit and let him get his foot in. That's all he wants, is to get his foot in the door. Praise God. That's what the Bible calls some Christians weak. And maybe we're all weak in some points, strong in others. And if we're not weak now, we have been at one time. Amen. Sometimes there are things that are inroads to sin that we need to get sanctified, get the victory over. Praise God. One of them is to realize that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. That's just another way of saying you're not your own. You're bought with a price. We need to realize that we belong to God. Hallelujah. And that we're not our own anymore. Hallelujah. Therefore, God wants our best. He wants our best on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Praise God. If you're truly sanctified, you will understand that God said, 6 days shalt thou labor. Amen. And the seventh shall be holy unto thee. Praise God. God wants us to take one day especially for God. Hallelujah. You know, God, he wants 1/10 of our money and he wants 1/7 of our time. Amen. Especially. Now, he wants all our time generally. Everything we do, everything we are, all we hope to be, it belongs to God. But you know, God wants 1/7 of our time specially. He wants us to give one day to God. Amen. If and whenever possible, we need to put God first on Sunday. I'm not preaching a legalistic Sabbath. I'm preaching a day where we can serve God and glorify God. Amen. Without the ordinary burdens of the week. Amen. And we need to, in a Christian way, remember the Lord's day. On Sunday, we need to remember that we're the Lord's. On Sunday, we need to remember that since we're the Lord's, we need to be at his house. And it's a bad witness for folks to claim his sanctifying grace when they don't even go to his house on Sunday. Bad testimony. As a matter of fact, that's just as good as the devil wants. That's an inroad. That's an inroad to sin in our life. It could bring a curse. It could bring judgment. Amen. When we fail, I'm not preaching now a legalistic Sabbath. I'm not preaching, amen, that you can't walk more than a Sabbath day's journey. I'm not preaching that you can't pick up no sticks. I'm not preaching, amen, that you can't do anything. But I'm preaching that God said he set apart him that is holy, righteous for himself. Him that is godly for himself. And that we need to remember the Lord on his day especially. And make it the Lord's day. Amen. And then what we get on the Lord's day, amen, we need to take it through the rest of the week into revival meeting. Amen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday night. Praise God. Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Praise God. And we need to use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yes, it's special power. power over sin. Most of us are weak. But when we ask God for His sanctification, for that particular besetting sin, that weakness in our life, and I say weak, weak in some area, and if we're not now, we have been. We may have grown strong through the years because we have gone to church and because we have prayed and we've got a whole new set of habits. We got a sanctified addiction. Amen. Why, praise God, we just want to read the Bible. We just want to sing gospel songs. Amen. We don't want to sing Your Cheating Heart anymore. Amen. We want to sing, praise God, since Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. That's right. We realize that our time, our talents, everything we have belongs to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so our whole body comes sanctified. Praise the Lord. And that means we are no longer supposed to look like Jezebel or any of our children because we're sanctified people. Amen. That's right. We're not supposed to look like the world because we're sanctified people. Now, sanctified folks is different. They're the Lord's people. We're the Lord's priests. Praise God. We're the Lord's representatives. We're the Lord's ambassadors. Hallelujah. The Lord thinks so much of His people, and He said He has set apart them that are godly for Himself. If we're not careful, we'll miss the glory of that. But just let your faith vision turn loose and imagine belonging to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Imagine being an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Imagine being His child and that He is just grooming you and training you and tutoring you through these various measures of grace and sanctification, amen, to represent Him in all eternity. Why, He thinks so much of you that He calls you the body of Christ. He not only gave His body that He might sanctify and cleanse it, gave Himself that He might sanctify and cleanse it, He made us through that cleansing process and through that sanctification. He took us to Himself and made us body of His body and bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Amen. There's a special inheritance that goes with sanctification, both in this life and in the world to come. Amen. When the devil jumps on you with sickness, you come right back at the devil and tell him, I belong to the Lord. I am His. God has set me apart for Himself. He has redeemed me by His sinless blood. Not only has He redeemed me by His sinless blood, He has healed me by His sinless stripes. Get off, devil. You've not got any claim on me. I take victory over you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can perpetuate your own divine healing and even divine health by realizing that when you are sanctified and set apart, you belong to the Lord. And the devil can't touch you unless you let him. Amen. He can't come in and build a fence on your territory unless you let him. Praise God. Now, what would you do if the neighbor, Sister Wanda was talking about a neighbor that one time was bad? What would you all have done, Wanda, if your neighbor suddenly one day you looked out the window and he was building a fence right across the corner of your yard? Amen. You all would have went out. You'd have made a long distance call to John, no matter where he was in the country, and you'd have said, Daddy, this neighbor of ours is building a fence across the corner of our yard. He's encroaching on our territory. Amen. You would tell him that that is yours, and if he didn't get off, then you would call the LAW And have him evicted from your yard. But you know what? Christians that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, a devil comes along and begins to drive posts in your body. Amen. And he fences off part of it, and he keeps it fenced off for 20 years. And we don't know hardly what to do about it. Rebuke him, praise God, and tell him that don't belong to him. That's God's territory. Amen. And that in the name of Jesus Christ, he's got to get off. And in the name of the God of heaven, he's got to get off. And that the word, that's the law, brother, is against him. The spirit is against him. Amen. And that if he don't get off, amen, you're going to plead the blood against him. And the name of Jesus and the power of God. Amen. I guarantee you, after a while, you're going to have victory. Amen. Devil jumps on you. Don't pet him. Don't pamper him. Amen. And if your neighbor builds a fence across half your backyard, you'll say, well, this is my old mean neighbor. I just don't know what to do about it. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we're awful bad to confess what the devil wants to put on us. Amen. And we'll say, my cancer. And my TB. And my headache. Praise God. Put it back where it belongs. Amen. It came from the enemy. And take dominion and authority over it. And once again, let your faith vision work. I said all that, see, there's a special inheritance that goes with sanctification, and that is faith for healing. You've got a weapon to use against the devil if you're totally given to God. Now, here's the difference. A young lady came up to be prayed for on crutches. And the preacher asked her, said, what are you going to do when God heals you? And she said, I haven't been to a dance for years. I'm going to go to a dance. And he shoved her on through. Said, your legs is good enough for what you're going to use them for. Amen. A man came through to be prayed for his lungs. Some kind of a lung ailment. And the preacher discerned that he was using tobacco. And he said, don't you want delivered from your tobacco? Amen. And the man began to argue. He didn't think there's anything wrong with it. He said, your lungs are good enough for what you're going to use them for. But you see, when you get sanctified, amen, then you can tell the devil, you don't belong here. I didn't ask for you, and I'm not going to give you any place. What does the Bible say? Neither give what? Place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Amen. Now sickness, maybe not all of it, but sickness is the oppression of the devil. The Bible said God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You say, well, you say, Brother Collins, what about those sicknesses? It's not the oppression of the devil. You'll get over them. But that which is the oppression of the devil, he'll fasten it to you for a lifetime and send you to a premature grave, and he will impede your witness and your life of effectiveness for God and your ability to go for God for a whole lifetime. So don't give place to him. Overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Rebuke him by the sinless stripes. Rebuke him by the sinless blood. And the devil will come back and he'll tell you, you've sinned. You've failed God. You've done this. You've done that. That's why you're suffering. I prayed for a lady in Kansas City who was sick. And she said, after I'd prayed for her, prayed, as Marty Huff said about his revival, he said, I preached my guts out. And he said, he didn't do nothing. I just about prayed that bad, you know, that day to help that dear woman. And she said, I know the Lord is chastening me. I said, sister, what's he whipping you for? know, but I know the Lord's testing me. I said, it'd be a cruel father that'd whip you and wouldn't tell you what he's whipping you for, wouldn't it? Praise God. You know, everybody knows when they're truly chastened what God's chastening them for. They'll guess it the first time. If they're really being chastened of the Lord, they know. They know what the problem is. Amen. And you can fix that. But the devil beats some good people over the head. And she said, I know. I thought I prayed just while I prayed. She said, I know the Lord is chastening me. Well, you can't rebuke the Lord in the name of Jesus. You can't plead the blood against the Lord. Bow all you and say, what the Lord has poured on, Lord. Thy will be done, Lord. Amen. Brother Havis Crawford and I and two or three other holiness preachers was called out into Norman. I was out there in a revival meeting. And we went to pray for a Baptist brother that they had loved, you know, and knew. And he had the terminal cancer. Oh, the scourge of cancer in this world. Amen. And it seemed like it gets worse all the time. And we prayed. One of those preachers got down on the floor. I mean, he prayed old time holiness style. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We got a hold of God and the Spirit of God came down that day. Amen. After we got done praying, he started praying himself. He started preaching to God. And he said, oh, Heavenly Father, I thank Thee that through my sickness that many people have been brought together that would not have been brought together otherwise. And, oh, Lord, Thy will be done. And thank You, Lord, for this cancer, so to speak. And after he got done praying, we just wasted our time. We just well not prayed. Praise God. So there's a special blessing, praise God, for people that are sanctified or that will make the effort to be sanctified. Amen. James said, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and pray for him, anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Well, James knew when a Christian gets sick right away, the devil jumps on his back and says, you've sinned, reason you're sick. God's chastening you, God's judgment's on you, reason you're sick. And so James put the cure-all in there. Amen. He said, if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Praise God. A lot of the old-timers, they used to believe an Odie Creek bomb was a sinner. And he was very, very sick. And his half-brother came and prayed for him, Bruce Lawson, and Cud. And all of them, they came, they gathered around, they prayed for this little boy. His little boy, then he was sick. Amen. And God came down in that room that day and healed old Brother Odie Creek Bob. And Bruce told him, he said, now Brother Creek, his son, said, when God heals you, he saves you. And a lot of the old-timers, they used to think, you know, that when God healed somebody, even though they were a sinner, that God had also done a work of grace in their heart on the basis of James. Now, I'll tell you one thing. It may not work in every case in a sinner. He must still believe on the Lord, and he must still be of a repentant heart. Praise God. And maybe you couldn't quite go that far, but I'll tell you one thing. When a child of God is in need of a touch of God, and the devil's on his back and beating him over the head with a guilt complex, call for the elders of the church and plead the blood in the name of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Plead the stripes of the Son of God. Amen. And if he hath committed sins, the Bible says, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. There's something about it. When a Christian approaches God, he gets his sins under blood. He gets his sins taken care of. Hallelujah. Sanctification is something special, and it's especially for you. Amen. Now, I know that this may be just a little bit different than some teach it, you know. Some teach a progressive work, and then some teach a second definite work of sanctification. And then they go on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And it really doesn't matter to me which way you teach it. I think you got to have a new dip in it once in a while. Can you say amen? I think you need to take a refresher course once in a while. Hallelujah. I think you need to progress in it just a little bit. Amen. If nothing else, get to where you can help somebody else. Hallelujah. Brother Bench was preaching one time. He was talking about the fellow that came into town, and he was preaching. He was sanctified. He never could get mad no more. Said, before he left there, he said, I had to fight four men. Amen. We need a fresher course once in a while. Amen. And one of the good brothers that believed in sanctification, this second definite work of grace, he chimed in, you know, in the background. He wasn't sanctified. I'll tell you one thing. He wasn't when he had to fight four men. He needed a refresher course. Amen. He was like a neighbor that lived close to us. And Sister Collins was trying to witness to them and get them saved. And they said they were already saved. Amen. And one night they had some trouble, and she called us over to the house, and she was so mad, and she let out a few cuss words. And she told my wife, said, honey, said, I'll just tell you, said, I'm not a Christian tonight. Coming life and be happy all the time. Some people, even Christians, got the idea that if they're holiness, that they'll never have no fun anymore. Amen. And they think we're trying to take all the fun away from them. Brother, you haven't begun to live. You haven't begun to be happy until you get close to Jesus. When you get close to Jesus, you won't have to have a lot of this other stuff. Nowadays, our churches have got to have all these other things, and they talk about Jesus once in a while. And they throw his name in once in a while. Amen. You got to talk about him if you profess him. Amen. But God wants us to have him in reality. Can you say amen? In closing tonight, as we get a song, sanctification is just being like Jesus. We got a special Savior, folks. Amen. And he wants us to represent him in the world. And he has set apart him that is godly for himself. Praise God. A bumper sticker on somebody's car said, I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Amen. We belong to Jesus. Praise God. The world may look at us like fools. They may think we're crazy. We've lost our mind. We give up everything that counts. No, we've got everything that counts. In Jesus, stand with us tonight. Heavenly Father, bless the word tonight. Lord, help your children, young and old, realize that we're something special, a special people. With special privileges, Lord, and that we have a special inheritance among them that are sanctified. We have an eternal inheritance in the New Jerusalem, a kingdom that fadeth not away. Ah, glory. Help those, Lord, that are not far enough long yet to see it, to see the glory. Help those that have lost the vision of it to see the blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. As we sing, would you like to ask God for something tonight? Would you like to ask him just to help you to be holy, sanctified, spirit, soul, and body? Let's pray tonight. Let's pray tonight.